Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
I want to talk about the positional presence of God and the empowering presence of God. Number one up front, I think we can get very stuck. You see, for men and women who have not given their life to Jesus Christ, let me say this with love, the Spirit of Christ does not live in you. You have to be born again. Believing upon life, he will impart his spirit, which is an act of grace. How do we know this? Well, look at Genesis in Egypt. Okay? God said to Moses, the angel of death is coming. Kill the lamb, put the cross on the door, stay in the house. Know the story? Let me tell you, when the angel of death came over, he didn't look at that man's righteousness or that man's unrighteousness. Didn't look at any of that. What did he look at? He saw the blood that covered them. And Egypt didn't have the blood. They were taken out. And I don't want to labor the point here, but I want you to see those men, that family had nothing to offer God. What did he have in the house other than obedience and applying the blood to his life? That's it. That's why the covenant of salvation is cut in the heavenlies. Do you know that? When Jesus came in, Hebrews tells us, he came into the altar with a pure, better sacrifice, his blood himself. The wrath of God was removed. Angel of death didn't even look at the oak. He just looked at the blood. And look at this. They come out of Egypt and they go to the Red Sea. I don't want to labor the point. What happens to the Red Sea? Could Moses single-handedly split that sea? I want you to see that with salvation, it is impossible for man. You must be born again by the sovereign impregnation of his spirit and power. He releases what's called faith, the seed of faith, that pistis, the word is called Greek, and it is called pistis. It is the saving faith required. You cannot manufacture yourself. That's different from the gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12. It's another discussion. I think we're going to do that on Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken. Here's the thing. God said, Moses, open the sea, put your staff up. Boom, the sea opens. Israel goes through on the dry land. What happens is then the sea closes. Who got drowned? The Egyptians. But you see, that's what happens in salvation. When you come through, the sea is closed. You can never go back to Egypt. Got to start understanding the security of your salvation. You added nothing when the angel of death passed over. You just applied the blood because you believe it. You were told to do it. God opened the sea. The sea was closed. You can never go back to Egypt. Here's the problem. Positionally, you have the Spirit. Ephesians 1 says this. You can break Ephesians 1 down into three. God chooses, God saves, and God guarantees. Just in the Ephesians chapter 1, God chooses, God saves, and God guarantees. What happens is, having believed, it is under the understanding that you have believed Jesus Christ. If you don't believe him, you cannot have the finished work of the cross over your life. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal. The promise, Holy Spirit. Here's an interesting thing. Guaranteeing with a deposit, our inheritance. Not just that word deposit. See that word? When you come to Christ, you put your faith in the finished work, what happens is positionally, his spirit comes to live within you. Your spirit man is washed, cleaned. Thessalonians tells us the washing, the renew, the rebirth of by the Spirit. But isn't it interesting that the Israelites had God's positional presence in the wilderness? They were fed bread. They were fed water. They had the presence of God in the cloud, the fire at night. They had God's positional presence. Why could they not enter the promised land? You see, I think this is where a lot of our wheels come off. We believe it's salvation. I've got the Spirit, which you do. It is a deposit. The word is down payment, guaranteeing your eternal future. Guaranteeing. Amen? The difference is the empowerment. This is not two different spirits. This is not like a spirit at salvation, and then in Acts chapter 2, you have a different spirit. This is what we call a fuller, greater expression of the promise. So how do we know this? John chapter 20, verses 22. Jesus breathed what on the disciples? He breathed his spirit on his disciples. And theologians would believe, and so do I, that that's when the disciples were born again. You see, when they lived with Christ, they had a measure of faith expressed towards him. But that moment, when he's breathed his spirit, they became born again Christ followers. Why is it? You've got to understand, because this is when I think the church is getting derailed here. You have the Spirit guaranteeing what is to come, the promised salvation. Why does Jesus say in the end of Luke, wait for power? How come in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says this? He says, wait, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise has come. Why? Is that different from the promise of John 20? No, it's not. It's a fuller, greater expression of what? Power. Why does Paul have to keep saying, I keep praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, if you have it in its fullness at salvation? Because you don't. The only person who carries the full measure of the Spirit is Christ himself. That's why the Bible says, keep on being filled. Keep on perpetually present being filled. I can tell you now, I leak. You leak. How do you know when you're leaking? The moment I'm grotty, the moment I've got no patience for my wife, the moment I've got no patience for my children, no patience for anyone. And then, in fact, the furthest thing from my heart's desire is the presence of God. Let me be vulnerable and honest. It's to scurry around and finish work. All I have to do is just take a trip back and say, how much have I actually spent with his presence? Truth is, very little. Guys, I felt something in God that too many of us are sitting with the positional presence of God. Saved by grace, by the blood of the Lamb. Too many of us are not transitioning into the empowering presence. If the disciples didn't need power, Jesus would not have wasted his breath, both in Luke and Acts. You see, interesting. What came first in Acts 2? Wind or fire? I want you to see something here. Felt the Holy Spirit highlight this, but let me take some water quickly. Matthew, John the Baptist says this. He says, he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's, say the word Ruach. That means the breath of God. You'll be baptized with the breath of God and with fire. Why does Matthew reference two things? Because simply this, what came first in Acts chapter 2 was the wind. What does wind do? Well, wind is a beautiful picture of the positional presence of God. When God made Adam, he lay him out. What did he do? He breathed what's called Ruach. He breathed his life into Adam. He rose, became a living being. Interesting. That is what gave him life, was the breath of God. You see, without wind, weather doesn't happen. Without wind, seasons don't change. Without wind, pollination doesn't happen. Without the breath of God, you die. Interesting. What does fire do? Fire is the ability to get the job done. You need the Ruach of God. You need the breath of God that is a beautiful thing at salvation called positional presence. And then you need the empowering, as Acts chapter 1 has said. Why? Why did Jesus tell his folk, be clothed with power? Notice, doesn't say anything about be clothed with salvation. That happened in John chapter 20. be clothed with power. Why? Witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. There is a job to get done. You cannot do it without dunamis. Say the word dunamis. Who knows what that word means? Dynamic, explosive power. When you're sitting in a mine, I can tell you now, the wind can blow as much as it wants. What separates the rock? But fire without air, fire without oxygen cannot be sustained. I believe this, that the breath of God comes into you, the fire of God comes upon you. You see, it's not every day I have the faith to raise someone from the dead. Well, in fact, I've never succeeded, but I'm trying. Not to prove anything other than that it's a mandate. Amen? What is the mandate? Preach the gospel, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. Folk, Jesus didn't say that because he had nothing else to say to you and me. It's a mandate and a mission. When someone's eyes are open, all that the signs and wonders do, it's a sign, it points to something, and it leaves them in wonder of someone. The sign points to the age to come. The wonder is, who is the king of that age? See, when you open the eyes of the blind, it's simply this: in the kingdom of God, you will eternally forever see. The deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the dead will rise, the gospel will be preached. Acts chapter 2, the wind comes, the fire comes, the church goes from, if you look at the I won't talk about it now, Genesis 2:10, there's four rivers. Do you know those four rivers come from one river? That one river flows from the throne of God. It breaks into four headwaters, Pishon, Gishon, Euphrates, and Tigris. Go do a word search on those Hebrew meanings. Everything that God does of kingdom is in four. Four gospels, four creatures around the throne room. Here's the thing. Of that one river, it's called the Pishon. It means increase. Everything when the kingdom is laid hold of. Let me tell you now, you've been given the keys to the kingdom. Do you agree? But if you do not open and unlock heaven's vault and treasure, what access do you have? See, positionally, you have the kingdom. Positionally, you have the spirit. You've got to lay hold. Why? Because violent men lay hold of the kingdom. That's not violent towards people. That is a violence towards the work of darkness. Let me tell you now. When you wake up tomorrow and you go to work, multitudes of people who stand in front of you are going to go to hell one day. Let the fear of God grip our hearts. Let the love of the Father be poured out on us for the expense of our reputation. Let that person one day never forget when he stands before God, that man gave me the gospel. I stand without excuse. You know what I do believe? Isn't it so funny? The more we step out, the more the power of God is confirmed, the more the testimony goes. And before you know it, you've got people begging you to lay your hands on them for them to be set free. But a couple of weeks ago, you were petrified of them. Why? Because the word that came this morning is courage. It can't be a courage from us. That's fleshy courage. That won't last. It has to be something of the boldness of the Spirit of God within us. Amen. Do you know you can be absolutely fearless and courageous and bold and humble at the same time? 12 people led to 72 people. 72 people led to 120. 120 led to 3,000. 3,000 led to 5,000. Who wants to dare count the number of people that have been saved by the power of this gospel? Everything of the kingdom, when laid hold of, it will increase in your life. One of the biggest things the enemy will bring to you is that you're not enough, you're sinful, you're worthless, you don't have a right to that. Remember, when he speaks, he only speaks his native language. He's the father of. He's a liar. That cross alone, that lamb has qualified you. But now, there's a kingdom to lay hold of. This has got nothing to do with salvation. How do we know this? Well, Israel, Egypt, Red Sea closed. Amen. Why did they die out in the wilderness? Why were they not able to enter the promised land? Promised land is not heaven, folk. Please have that theological removal. There's no enemies in heaven. Joshua had to deal with enemies. You and me no longer deal with enemies of each other. We deal with what? The works and the effects of darkness. The enemy wants to keep people blinded so they don't come and meet Jesus Christ. See, when they died out in the wilderness, they could not enter because of an unbelief, a stubborn heart, unwilling to lay hold of the things of the kingdom. Remember this. In their hearts, they could never physically go back to Egypt. But in their hearts, they hankered. They hankered. See, let me say this. You can be thoroughly born again, but you never break through from the addictions, the lust, the challenges, the whatever it is, because simply this, in your heart, there's a hankering back of that. Folk, salvation is a work of grace. Your inheritance will cost you everything. There's an inheritance to lay hold of. When we stand before the mercy seat of Christ, it will be a mercy seat, and I'll be judged by what I did or didn't do in the body. You and me will never stand before the great white throne. Coming to an end. I love the story with Joshua. How is it that after the men, have you ever considered how Caleb was sustained? He was one of the oldest oaks. Do you know that? Why was he sustained so that he could go and take his mountain? Why? Because he was a man of persistent faith. Faith and patience inherits the promise. Now, I love what was just said there, kingdom. Listen to this incredible thing. Can you please turn to Galatians chapter 5? Jeepers, I haven't even opened the Bible yet. We're going to close soon. Galatians chapter 5. I love this. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 says, understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance. Look at this. All nations will be blessed through you. Let's go down to verses 9. So those who rely on the faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Look at that. You will not see a plural there. Blessing. Go verses 14. He redeemed us. Say the word redeemed. Why did Jesus Christ die on a cross for you? To redeem you. Look at this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing, notice no plural there. The blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ. Everything will come through Christ. So that by faith, we might receive the promise of the. You want to know the ultimate pinnacle fulfillment of the new covenant? Why Christ died for you, why he redeemed you, was that you and me could have his inward life and breath. And that the blessing, singular, given to Abraham, that blessing of the seed, when you read in Galatians, that seed is Christ, the blessing given to Abraham will come to you and me. Guys, God sent his son for you to have the fuller expression and measure of the promised spirit. Too many of us stay at the cross. Let me say emphatically clear, without that, you will never see the face of God. Well, you will, but it won't be great. But through the cross, into the kingdom, there's a fuller measure of the expression of the promise, and that is called being clothed with power from on high. Every day being filled, every day wanting more of the Spirit. Let me say this, Romans 8 is a challenge for all of us this morning. Those who submit to the Spirit is life and peace.